You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
So this Sunday, we get our first look at Russ next to LeBron, AD, and the rest of the purple and gold.
In order for the Lakers to beat Brooklyn, AD does have to be a top five player in the league. And that's the biggest advantage that the Lakers have against the Brooklyn Nets. They have Anthony Davis, and the Brooklyn Nets don't.
Alan Sliwa's here to get you ramped up for Lakers preseason game one on Sunday.
You know, we've had plenty of conversation about the Lakers vets and the age and everything. Is it too much of a big deal? So forth and so forth. Yeah, I think it's blown out of proportion, but it's not going to go anywhere until the Lakers start playing and start proving that, no, this age that they have, the vets that they have, is actually an advantage, not a disadvantage.
Are you ready for Mission 18 Reloaded?
Lakers Talk is on.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. Two straight hours of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Looking forward to tonight. You heard Mario right there on the open. Laker fans, Sunday, preseason basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers, just 6 days away. Lakers will take on the Brooklyn Nets. We got a great show lined up for you, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the show. Let me give everybody just a quick rundown what we're going to do tonight, because I got a lot going on. And, you know, obviously throughout the show, I'll open up certain topics to Laker fans out there. You're always, always welcome to join the show, 877-710-ESPN. All right, here's what we got. Brad Turner is going to come on the 8 o'clock hour, covers the Lakers for the LA Times. Fantastic article came out today. Sam Amick's a part of it. Bill Oram, who's been on the show a couple different times, he's a part of it. Sham Sharania, all from The Athletic, really kind of breaking down a few different topics around the Lakers, and you know, we'll hit on it, whether it's how bad Russell Westbrook wanted to be a Los Angeles Laker, the rumors about Coach Vogel's extension with the Lakers just being 1 year, what the Lakers starting lineup is going to look like this year. At least there's some conversation already about that. And then I'm going to go through some of those. We know this. Late last week, there was ranking the players, LeBron, AD, Russell Westbrook, where all these guys ranked, what's going to be most important rather than just a ranking that's on a sheet of paper. So we got a lot to get into tonight. And then, as always, as we do, the top NBA stories. I thought some interesting stuff coming from Dennis Schroeder today, new point guard for the Boston Celtics. Also, just one reminder. I know for most of those Laker fans who are tuned in tonight on Lakers Talk, just a reminder, tomorrow is Lakers Media Day. So Lakers Media Day goes from 10 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Myself and Travis Rogers will have all your coverage. And, you know, we're expecting to have a fantastic show and get a chance to hear from all the big guns. You know, LeBron, AD, Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard. It's going to be fantastic. This is going to be really how the season gets started. That's kind of the you could say, kickoff for the NBA season by doing training camp. And you got a lot of these other NBA teams that had training camp earlier today. Okay, so I mentioned that article, a big Lakers article on The Athletic. Sham Sharania, Bill Oram, and Sam Amick came out earlier today. And, you know, a couple things stood out from that article, and I'm going to kind of go piece by piece on some of this, and I think this is going to make for some great Laker conversation. The first thing that I'm going to hit on, it, and I think this was touched upon a little bit when Russell Westbrook was originally traded to the Lakers. And I've kind of fielded, you know, having the chance to do the Daily Show now with Travis, obviously there's plenty of time to talk Lakers basketball and then get a chance to do Lakers Talk. I feel like for the most part, most Laker fans are excited that Russell Westbrook's going to be a part of the Lakers. There is a small contingency, I believe, that's in the camp of, well, Russ is not a good fit, and the guy can't shoot a jumper, and you need guys that, you know, in today's NBA, you got to have guys that can be a threat from the outside, and how does Russ complement what AD and LeBron James bring to the table? There's others that have you know, mentioned their concerns. So part of the article, one of the things that stood out to me was Russell Westbrook really, really trying to do everything he possibly can, took control of the situation, was one of the quotes from a source, that Russell Westbrook was trying everything he can to be a Los Angeles Laker. And, you know, I think there's a number of reasons why he'd want to be a Laker. Called the owner Ted Leonsis, I think is the way you pronounce that. That was the owner of the Washington, the billionaire owner of the Washington Wizards. And when it was really, really close and it thought that the Lakers were going to go make a deal with the Sacramento Kings, it was Russell Westbrook stepping in and pretty much asking the owner of the Wizards to do him a favor. Hey, can you try to put together a deal with the Los Angeles Lakers? And obviously Rob Pelinka jumped on that. KCP, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, the number 22 pick of this past draft, all goes to the Wizards. Russell Westbrook ends up with the Lakers. A couple things that I think about when a player gets traded, especially a superstar gets traded to another team. Is that superstar want to be a part of that organization, or is this just a quick little pit stop? Does that superstar think that he's going to be a right fit and he's with the right teammates? And does he have a similar goal as the other players on the team? Those are all fair questions. And I could lay out 100 examples of guys that got traded and there was really nothing too much behind it. It was a Hail Mary of a chance. You know, I could even make the case when Russell Westbrook got traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder, he went to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets were in a Hail Mary situation. You know what? We've tried some of these other things. Let's just freaking try James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Let's see what happens. We've got nothing to lose. By the way, forget a center. We'll have Robert Covington be 6'7", and that's going to be our center, and we're going to take our chances under the Mike D'Antoni offense. It didn't work. It was a Hail Mary. And frankly, I remember that even happening, and I want to say I was getting ready to do a pregame with Michael, and we were on with Mason in Ireland, and there was a few of us that were like, yeah, you know what? What do they got to lose? You know, you're not going to win anyways with the squad that you have. Take the chance. There are other teams that, you know, take the chance, and if we want to stay with Russell Westbrook, Russell Westbrook goes to the Wizards. You trade John Wall. It was kind of like you're trading a couple superstars. You're trading contract. You just want new scenery. The thing that I try to explain to others who are a little, you know, question maybe that Russell Westbrook trade to the Los Angeles Lakers. Russ wants to be here. Russ wants to be a Los Angeles Laker. This isn't a squad that's rebuilding. This isn't a squad that you're looking at, you know, that organization today and saying, oh, this is, you know, you got a plan for the next couple of years because this year is just not going to be that year. No. Russ wants to be in the mix. Russ wants a chance to win an NBA championship. Russ wants to be a part of an organization that's going to give him his opportunity. Yes, you could say he's from Los Angeles. He went to UCLA. You can tie all those things together. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, Russ's path to want to come to the Lakers, the foundation of it all has to do with I want to win a freaking NBA championship, and the Lakers are going to give me the best shot to do so. We got a chance last week to listen to Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka addressed you know, the media on one of the Zoom calls, and a couple things stood out for me in that conversation with him, whether it was the goals that he had, and I'll play that clip a little bit later, what he wanted to accomplish in the offseason. But the thing that's, I think, stuck out to me the most is when he talked about you can construct a roster, you can put all these pieces together, and it might look fantastic on paper. But the way, and the Lakers are a perfect example. Brooklyn and the Lakers are a perfect example of this. On paper, it's going to look one way. Once you put those ingredients together and they're out on the court and training camp starts tomorrow and it's media day tomorrow, there's no guarantee or lock that this thing is going to work. You're going to have egos on the team. You're going to have guys with their own personal agendas, and can they sacrifice whatever that personal agenda is for the betterment of the team? And that's one of the things that is obviously one of the biggest challenges that you can possibly have as somebody like Rob Pelinka in his position when you're trying to put together this roster. Let me play this clip because he first mentioned this about guys needing to be unselfish. And I want to tie this back to Russell Westbrook because this is what I think, you know, my personal expectations are when Russell Westbrook you know, plays in 6 days for the Los Angeles Lakers against the Brooklyn Nets in that first preseason game. If he plays, I don't know. They're, you know, obviously going to play what the goals are going to be in the preseason. But this is one thing that I think is clear to me, and this is a big part of what Pelinka was trying to do in the offseason. Take a listen to this on Pelinka on players making sacrifices.
When this group of guys is in the gym or around each other, there's a respect for, hey, we have a chance to do something special this year, and we all have to make sacrifices to get there. And I think this group shares that common belief in the assumption that sacrifices will have to be made, but there's something greater that we can accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean we walk in the gym and we're contenders. It means we walk in the gym with a belief in one another and a belief that we're going to put in that work to get there. And this is a serious group of guys.
So that's Rob Pelinka. This was from late last week, addressing the media on a number of different things. But that one stands out to me. It stands out to me because I think the guys that the Lakers put together, and Russ is a perfect example of this. When I say, you know, I want to start off the show talking about this piece from The Athletic, how bad Russell Westbrook wanted to be a Laker. You know, I don't know if, you know, people understand this and realize it, but if you just kind of look at Russell Westbrook's career, Russell Westbrook drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, there's a point in his career early on that he thought, we're going to freaking be in the finals every year. It's me, it's James Harden, and it's Kevin Durant. How stacked is this squad for the next 7 to 10 years? Then the Oklahoma City Thunder trade James Harden, and he's gone. Even with James Harden, an MVP player that's now in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's got a great chance to win a championship, even with him gone, KD, Russell Westbrook, and some really nice pieces that they put together were close to winning a championship. I argue they should have won a championship. This is when they're up 3-1 the Golden State Warriors, and then they blow that 3-1 lead, and all of a sudden Kevin Durant decides in that offseason that he's going to go play for the Golden State Warriors and wins 2 NBA championships in 3 years. Then Russell Westbrook spends whatever amount of time with the Oklahoma City Thunder and goes through kind of a carousel of making the playoffs and having great individual stats, but never competing for a championship. And since that time, he's been with the Houston Rockets. He's been with the Washington Wizards. When people, you know, question, well, will Russ be on the same page with LeBron? And Russ is on this Lakers team because he wants to win a chip. That's the exact reason why, in my personal opinion, he's going to his owner in Washington and saying, please, find a way to get a deal done with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think that speaks a lot to how bad Russ wants to win, and all these other guys is going to have to be the same thing. But it's been that message primarily since the offseason really got underway and a lot of these players started signing. Okay, couple things I want to do when we come back. Number one, Rob Pelinka laid out what his goals were in the offseason, what his priorities were in the offseason. And I think he kind of nailed them. I think at least he checked them off one by one. Plus, there's some rumors that the Lakers, there's a potential starting lineup for the Lakers that I think will 100% surprise Laker fans out there, because I don't know how much of a priority this should be in an 82-game regular season, but we're going to get into that all that coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, looking forward to it. This Sunday, first preseason game for the Los Angeles Lakers. Man, what a busy time in sports. So think about Sunday for a quick second. You'll have the Rams facing Arizona, two 3-0 teams. Lakers will start against Brooklyn. It'll be the Dodgers' final game of the regular season before they start their either wild card game or division, probably most likely wild card game. I mean, what a great time in sports. And, you know, I mentioned this, and you heard a couple of the promos. Tomorrow's Lakers Media Day. So Travis and I, who do the show 9:55 to 12:55, right before 1, then we throw it over to Mason in Ireland. 10 to noon tomorrow will be Media Day. So that will be right in the heart of our show. We'll have all the coverage. You've heard these promos. A lot of the big names will be a part of it. So looking forward to that. You know, one of the things that I wanted to also play from that interview last week with Rob Pelinka, so Rob Pelinka addressing the media, Rob kind of went through what his goals were in the offseason. And you could kind of check them one by one of what was, I don't know if it was in order or anything like that, but these were the priorities. Take a listen to Rob Pelinka on the priorities this past offseason.
Yeah, I think going into the draft and free agency, there were really three primary goals and objectives that we wanted to accomplish with the roster. One was adding playmaking or a primary playmaker. Two was shooting. And then three was shifting back to, especially defensively, a model of sort of two rebounding defensive centers like we had in when we won the championship in 2020. And those were the goals we had in mind. And I think if you look at the complexion of the roster, we feel like we addressed each of those three goals. And that was something we set out to do. So we feel good about that.
All right, that's Rob Pelinka right there. I want to go through each one of these because it's interesting. It's one thing when you get into the offseason and every Laker fan is chiming in, throwing on their GM hat, myself included. Oh, they need to do this and they have to address that. And if they don't get this figured out, how are they going to win another championship? And I thought, you know, Rob laying it out, first thing he said was a playmaker or playmaking. Okay, well, let's think about that for a second. The Lakers went out and got Russell Westbrook. You're not going to find a better playmaker and someone playmaking, right? Somebody who could grab the board off the glass on one end, and before anybody else gets to half court, he's already on his way for a layup or he sends somebody else up. Playmaker, can you have somebody that the Lakers don't have to be dependent just on LeBron James in a half-court set or bringing up the ball or making sure or kind of orchestrating the offense? That's what Russell Westbrook's done his entire career. That's what he's done in the point guard position, and he's played with other stars. So I don't want to hear people say, well, how is Russ going to play with – Russ has played with James Harden, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, go down the list, Paul George, of plenty of players that are upper echelon, some of them former MVPs. He's played with them. He knows how to play with them. Now, is he going to have to adjust and figure out, okay, what are LeBron's tendencies, AD's tendencies? Absolutely. Everybody's going to do that. And you want, you know, one of the things for me, I know going into the offseason was, can the Lakers, felt like they had to go out and get another superstar. They had to. I don't think you were beating the Brooklyn Nets unless you went out and got another superstar. Now, I'm going to keep referencing that Athletic article from earlier today that came out. We all know that they were close to getting Buddy Hield, but Buddy Hield almost seemed like, well, that's if we can't get another superstar, that's our plan B or our plan C. That's kind of conceptually what you thought the Lakers were going to do. So they went out and got their superstar, and obviously he fits that playmaking mold. Other playmakers as well, you could say Rondo is a playmaker. You can say, and at this age of his career, we'll see how much Rondo is able to contribute, but at the same time, it was a year ago that the Lakers were the NBA Finals were about to start. I think it's actually a year ago today. They eliminated Denver, and then the NBA Finals were about to start, which shows you just how crazy it is that it's only been a year. Literally, it's been less than a year the Lakers won their championship. They also went out and got Kendrick Nunn from the Miami Heat, in the sense of he was with the Miami Heat, then the Lakers signed him. They went out and got playmakers. Those are your playmakers, so check that list off the check that off the box. Shooting. I cannot tell you how much I heard during post-game shows and really in the off-season too when things were about to start that Lakers got to go out and get shooters. You know, let's kind of be blunt about it. Wesley Matthews didn't work out for the Lakers the way they thought it was going to be. They lost other shooters. KCP is gone. Kuzma is technically a shooter. It wasn't an efficient shooter by any stretch of the imagination. So they lost some guys. How are you going to address your shooting? Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Carmelo Anthony, they went out. Kent Bazemore shot 40% last year. They went out and tried to address that specific need shooting. And then the last one, which is the one I think most Laker fans bothered me. When I say bothered me, as in it bothered them the most during the season, Al, why did we get rid of Dwight Howard? You know, having Dwight and JaVale McGee The year that the Lakers won a championship was such a great advantage. Why did they change from that game plan? Well, maybe Rob Pelinka agrees with you, and he went out and got DeAndre Jordan and re-signed Dwight Howard after he went to Philly for 1 year. So check, check, check. Check those things all off the list there for Rob Pelinka. Those were his goals, his priorities this offseason. And, you know, it's funny because I can come in here very optimistic about this upcoming season. I could tell Laker fans out there, don't pay too much attention to how old the Lakers are, because a lot of these players, they're going to be depending on, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes a game. So you're not going to be depending on them the way Carmelo at one point of his career was a franchise player. He's the sixth, seventh best player on this team now. Same with Dwight Howard. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But we don't know until they start putting this whole thing together. So we're either going to be sitting here 6, 7, 8 months from now talking about how great Pelinka's plan worked, or we're going to be saying, man, this thing just didn't work out, and what we thought was going to be successful wasn't going to happen. But I'm obviously very optimistic about it. So, I'll throw this out there to Laker fans before I get into another topic that I want to get into. How confident do you feel in this Lakers roster? So season starts on Sunday. The big hitters in the NBA, I can name a few of them right now. Brooklyn's obviously going to be a big hitter. I'm very curious about the Golden State Warriors, and hopefully Klay Thompson healthy and ready to come back. And, you know, we'll see what they end up doing with some of their other young pieces if they try to go out and get another player. I'm curious about teams like the Denver Nuggets. Utah and Phoenix, I think, will be good, but do I think they're a true threat to go win an NBA championship if the Lakers are healthy? No, I don't believe that. But if you have your thoughts on how Rob Pelinka put together this roster and how confident you are going into the season, or maybe you're not that confident. Maybe you're not a big fan of the moves that the Lakers had and you have some concerns. If you want to voice your opinion on that, 877-710-ESPN. Okay. So the article that I mentioned from The Athletic, again, Shams Charania, Bill Orme, Sam Amick, article came out today. Another interesting kind of nugget of this was the potential starting lineup for the Lakers. There's legit conversations out there about AD playing the center position and LeBron James playing the power forward spot. So let me kind of go into a piece of the article that kind of lays out the starters that could potentially be there for the Lakers. And I say potentially because you just never know, right? Like, we can sit here and my personal opinion is with nothing even starting yet, as in training camp isn't starting, I don't know how you could really already determine what your starting lineup is going to be. But with that being said, part of this article talks about how the Lakers would put Anthony Davis at the five. They'd put LeBron James at the four. Trevor Ariza, all Laker fans know Trevor Ariza, won a championship with the Lakers back in 2009 against the Orlando Magic, would be at the small forward position. Wayne Ellington, a former Laker and a fantastic shooting guard. When I say fantastic shooting guard, as in he's a true threat, a real big-time shooter in the league, shoots over 40% from the three-point line. He'd play the two spot for the Lakers, and then Russell Westbrook would be the one. So that kind of breaks down, you know, from an article perspective, that's the conversation. The conversation is the Lakers would use that type of starting lineup this upcoming season. And I want to do a couple things, and we're going to do it when we come back, because I want to spend a little time on this. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Are you one of those that says, AD's got to start the five? He's got to play the five. The Lakers are going to have an incredibly successful season this upcoming year. He's got to play the five, and Bron's got to play the four, and the Lakers have to have a smaller lineup with AD at the five. If you're on that list, great. You can pick up the phone and make your case. I'm not on that list. I'm not one of those that thinks AD's got to play the five through an 82-game grind, and that's going to be everything this upcoming season. So when we come back, we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. 877-710-ESPN. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Media day tomorrow. Make sure to tune in. We will be covering media day. It's 10 to noon. Travis and I will do our regular show, 9:55 to 12:55. And then Mason and Island will come after that. Sedano and Cap, 9 straight hours of local talk. Of course, everything starts with Kellerman, with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max Kellerman. You can start tuning in at 6 a.m. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. I know we got a couple callers lined up. I'll get to the phones in just a second. If you want to call, just be patient, and I'll make sure to get to you. So, potential starting lineup for the Lakers. This is part of an article that came out from The Athletic. Talks about Anthony Davis at the center, LeBron James at the four, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and Russell Westbrook. Okay, so this is just a potential starting lineup, and this kind of falls more along the lines of when I mentioned Rob Pelinka about guys sacrificing for one another. You know, you have a common goal. That's the most important thing, and nothing else matters. It's getting championship number 18, and a lot of that is going to be guys maybe playing. Let's just use as an example, playing less minutes than they're accustomed to, or playing positions that they're not accustomed to playing on an 82-game schedule. You're going to sacrifice. That's what happens with championship rosters. We've seen this with the Lakers in the past, whether the championship that they just won or in previous championships. And you also see it the other way. Guys that don't sacrifice, and then that costs you winning a championship, or there's too much selfishness, or whatever the case is. We know the Lakers got the talent. The talent is there. The talent 100% is there for the Lakers. They got a legitimate shot. I was a fan of go get another superstar and surround the rest of the team with veterans, and the Lakers certainly went out and did exactly that, and I thought Rob Pelinka had a good offseason. Now, I also thought Rob Pelinka had a good offseason last year. I thought Dennis Schroeder was going to work. I thought Montrezl Harrell was going to work. I thought Wesley Matthews was a good addition. Marc Gasol, obviously, it didn't pan out. And you know what? Maybe it would have panned out, but Anthony Davis got injured, and we'll never really know if all I know is that it wasn't meant to be, because every time it felt like the Lakers, the engine started running, boom, something else happened, everything stopped. Andre Drummond at the trade deadline or at the buyout market, I thought was a good move. So it's certainly not a guarantee for anything to happen, but I want to comment real quick on the starting lineup. I hear this a ton. Well, you know, AD should be playing the five. Why isn't Anthony Davis playing the five? You know, AD is such a good player. Nobody can stop him. And these are the numbers for when AD plays the five. Look how unstoppable the Lakers are. I get that. I understand that. I understand that the Lakers give themselves the greatest chance to win with AD at the five in most predicaments and situations. I want AD guarding Joel Embiid. Okay, maybe it's different a little bit this year. You can have Dwight Howard do a little dirty work with him. I want AD going toe-to-toe with Giannis. I want AD going toe-to-toe with Jokic. I get all that. I completely understand it. This is my problem with this potential starting lineup that, you know, I'm referencing to in this article. AD at the 5, LeBron at the 4, Trevor Ariza at the 3, Wayne Ellington and Russell Westbrook round out the backcourt. My problem is, and I don't know if I'm in the minority on this one, I don't think AD's got to be in the five when you're about to embark in an 82-game schedule. I don't think it's that important to have Anthony Davis in the middle of November against the Indiana Pacers that Anthony Davis has to play 30 of his minutes at the five. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I think people make a case that Anthony Davis has got to play the five. He's got to play more center. He's doing the Lakers a disservice. If you're telling me AD doesn't want to play the five in game three of a playoff game where the Lakers know, hey, in the second half, AD, we need you at the five, because if you're at the five in the second half of this playoff game, we know we're going to end up winning this thing. That's a different story. And that has never happened with AD, and it will never happen, because even Anthony Davis understands how useful he is at the five. Use it when you need it. 82 games is an 82-game grind. I don't think it's that important to have this dude play the five in an 82-game stretch. And listen, if it ends up happening and you know that's how they want to use Anthony Davis right out the gate, it is what it is. And if AD dominates all season long and that's the right move, fine, fantastic. As long as it's not taking anything away from the playoffs and the postseason, But I personally don't have an issue with AD playing the four. I don't. Because I know that when you have games in November and December and January and February, you're still 2 months from the playoffs starting once you get into February. So I don't think it's as big of a deal. Some people have made a bigger case for it. We'll take some phone calls on this right now, too. By the way, and also throughout, what do you think of the lineup in general? What the moves Pelinka made in the offseason? Pelinka addressed all that late last week. You could comment on that as well. We'll take a couple calls right now. Eric and Marina Del Rey. Eric, what's going on? You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, what's going on, Al? Love the show. So I heard the potential starting lineup, and I'm okay. I'm all right with it if it happens, right? Like, I didn't hear it and immediately panic. I'm okay with it. But I think at the end of the day, I'm on the same side as you, that I don't think AD needs to be doing all that banging in the center position in the beginning of games and games in November, December. His health is ultimately, I think, the biggest deal when it comes to winning a championship is that he just stays healthy like he did in year one. So I'm on your side where I'd only use him when it really matters at the end of important games. And I liked what Rob had said about trying to go back to the formula we had 2 years ago with DeAndre and Dwight kind of playing the Dwight JaVale roles. So obviously to have that, AD wouldn't be playing center to start. So I think I'm on your side there, that I like AD at the four better. I mean, I get why people want him at the five, and I think at the five, you know, he could obviously thrive and it could help our lineup, especially with, you know, if you had Ellington there out there shooting. But
sure.
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's better to preserve AD.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for calling in, bud. You know, I kind of find this funny because, you know, here we are, the season hasn't even started yet, but These are natural conversations that come up, and I like what Eric mentioned about Rob taking a little bit more of a blueprint. He said 2 years ago, it hasn't even been a year. That's, man, I get so thrown off by, you know, these last couple of two seasons ago, right? 2 seasons ago when the Lakers had that blueprint. And I think Rob obviously took a piece. I don't think he did. He did take a piece from that blueprint, you know, and how much LeBron's influence is on all that, I'm sure it's incredibly heavy how much his influence weighs in on what the Lakers should do and, you know, kind of moving forward. They got Dwight, they got Rondo back, but they also signed DeAndre Jordan, who I think, you know, in my opinion, will probably be more likely at the five than AD to start off the season. What the hell do I know? All right, a couple more calls here. Lee and La Mirada. Lee, what's going on? You're on Lakers Talk. Lee, you there, buddy? All right, no Lee. Let's go to George in Ventura. George, what's going on? You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for getting me in.
No problem, buddy. Yeah, what's going on? What do you want to hit on?
I also think what you were saying about Anthony Davis, you know, we need to preserve him. I think bringing Russell Westbrook is it's great, and it's going to, you know, leave some relief from Anthony Davis, so that way he can go ahead and, you know, take breaks and all that. I think it's great. And then also bring in Dwight Howard. Defense, last time when they won the championship, about a year or so, it was great. I thought he gave it his all, and defense is amazing. I'm excited for this team, definitely.
Appreciate it, George. Thank you for calling in. You know, I try to balance this out here. I don't want to sound like I come on. It's like all rah-rah. You know what I mean? That there's no guarantee any, you know, this is going to work. So I don't want to make it sound like this is a lock and this is, you know, Lakers are just going to mow through every team in the West, even though I genuinely feel that they're probably – there's a greater chance that they'll go through the West – you know, obviously be the team to beat in the Western Conference than that not being the case. But the starting lineup thing is just, that's always one that I always find an interesting conversation because everybody wants to play even during the season, right? There's always questions, right? If a player was out last season, for example, KC's injured, who's going to start? Oh my gosh, Kuzma's starting. And that's always a conversation. Michael always reminds me of this. Michael Thompson, who do the pregame show obviously with, he always reminds me, at the end of the day, it's who ends the games that's most important, not who starts the game. Because If you're ending the game, there's a reason why you're in there. Maybe you're a clutch player. Maybe you're comfortable with a certain lineup. Maybe the coaching staff just knows you can finish games. That's always going to be the most important thing. All right, a couple more calls. All right, we got Lee back from La Mirada. Lee, what's going on? You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Thank you for accepting my call. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm in agreement. I think AD should be at the four. I think from a defensive standpoint, DeAndre Jordan or Howard would be better at the center. Either one of them with AD on the defensive end would be great. I think Ellington and Westbrook would bring that balance on both offense and defense. And, you know, we keep LeBron at the three. I think that would be a perfect lineup, and they'll work the bench after that.
Yeah, and there's
so – I'm agreeing with you on the four.
Appreciate it, Lee. And there's – look, there's not a shortage of players here. So there's going to be a ton of – just as an example, right? I'm excited to see Malik Monk this year. I'm excited to see Kendrick Nunn this year. I'm excited to see Kent Bazemore. I think Kent Bazemore is an incredibly underrated player in the NBA. I'm excited to see some of these other guys. So whatever we think, you know, if it's Wayne Ellington who starts and, you know, like I mentioned, whoever closes out these games, I don't know what the perfect lineup's going to be, but – just my own personal experience of watching Lakers basketball, and I think most people understand this, the NBA is a long freaking season. And I think strategically sometimes, I was talking about this a little bit last week, that I'm not telling you that the Lakers are going to mail in any of these regular season games. But I'm also not going to tell you that the Lakers are going to play every regular season game like they have to have it. And I just mentioned that because I think teams like the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns, a lot of teams like that are going to play the regular season very strategically, that they need those games to get to the NBA Finals. Or, I'm sorry, they need those games in the playoffs so that they have home court in the playoffs, whatever the case is. I don't think that's going to be the case with the Lakers. I'm more concerned with the Lakers just trying to gel, finding the right matchups that work, and we'll take it from there. Okay. More of your phone calls when we come back. If you're out driving around and you want to be a part of Lakers talk, 877-710-ESPN. Do you think Talen Horton-Tucker should be in the conversation in the starting lineup? We're going to get into that when we come back. Plus, there's a report that Coach Vogel's extension was only for 1 year. Is that disrespectful to a coach that's already won an NBA championship with the Lakers, or does it make sense what the Lakers are doing, part of that flexibility? We'll get into that coming up next. Just a quick reminder, a couple things we got coming up in the show. Top NBA stories coming up at 8 o'clock. Brad Turner from the LA Times at 8:15. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Funches, we got a problem, Funch. Oh, we got a problem.
What is this, Lee?
I mean, I think I got to block Alex Caruso on Twitter. I don't want to ever see another post of his again. He just posted something up 11 minutes ago. Alex Caruso in a Chicago Bulls jersey with Benny, their mascot.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, man, this one hurts a little bit, buddy. This one hurts. It looks so weird to see him. I saw Kuzma earlier today. You know, most of the team, I don't know how many teams had media day today. Lakers are tomorrow.
Seems like half of them already.
Okay, so, you know, Washington had a picture of Kyle Kuzma. It's like, man, that looks weird. But this one, I have not seen Caruso in a Chicago Bulls jersey. By the way, this dude looks freaking fit. Ready
man,
to go this
he
upcoming
does,
year.
Man. Looks yeah, like he gained does. Maybe 10 or 20 pounds of muscle.
No, you're not kidding. He literally looks like probably another 10 pounds of just pure muscle. So AC rocking a Chicago Bulls jersey, that just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right. All right, let's take a few more phone calls here. Let's go to Adam in Boyle Heights. Adam, what's going on? You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for the content. Thank you, Funches, and thank you for taking the call.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I just want to share a few words real quick. I'm a diehard, man, Angelino. I'm from Boyle Heights. Anybody that knows where Boyle Heights is at, you know. If you don't, then you don't. But at the end of the day, here's what I got to say. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the lineups, we got to trust in Vogel. We got to trust in the system. And we're going to be all right. And I just feel like sometimes we just get too over our heads. And we just got to appreciate the fact that the Lakers do what they got to do to put us in a situation. And I say us because, you know, that's how Laker fans think. and we're going to be all right. We're going to figure it out. I'm pretty sure we're going to, you know, we're going to throw different mixes up in there with lineups. But, you know, we got to just trust in the system. We got to trust in the process. And, man, it's amazing to be a Laker fan because we are a brand, man. We're out there and we're always going to be in contention, except for a few years, obviously. But we're going to be all right. So I don't think there's no reason to overthink it. I think we should just trust in it. And, man, it's amazing to be a Laker fan, period.
Appreciate it, Adam. No, no, hey, listen, I appreciate it. It's actually, you know, it's a good perspective because you're right. There's this, you know, listen, I can kind of speak to it from reference. I'm born and raised in San Diego. San Diego's not, you know, winning championships on a year-in, year-out basis. They're just not. And then, you know, obviously they only have one franchise now. But I mention that because you're right. There are a lot of so many different organizations around the NBA that there's no expectation when you walk into a season to win a championship. There just isn't. There's very few organizations that do that on a consistent basis. And Lakers, by far in the modern era of basketball, have been the most successful one. And 3-4 years ago, there wasn't a conversation about this by any stretch of the imagination because the Lakers were just kind of a lottery team, and then LeBron came, and now all of a sudden things change. There's definitely perspective sometimes. You said something about Adam from Boyle Heights said something about trusting in Coach Vogel. So, you know, a piece of this article from The Athletic, and I'm going to mention it again, and I'll encourage Laker fans. It's a great piece. I mean, there's literally 50 different topics that came from it, Sham Sharania, Sam Amick, and Bill Oram. And one of the pieces I thought was very interesting, and it was about Coach Vogel. Coach Vogel, August 6th, Lakers issued a statement announcing Vogel had signed an extension. An extension with the Lakers. This would be technically the final year of his contract if he didn't sign that extension. So the terms of the deal were not in there. How many years Frank Vogel would be with the Lakers, that portion was not in there. So I'm going to read this directly from the article. Multiple sources told The Athletic that Vogel's extension added only 1 year to his contract, securing him through 2022-2023. So I mentioned this as a question. To Laker fans out there, that is it disrespectful that you're only giving a coach that won you an NBA championship? When I say won you an NBA championship, I'm not saying he did it individually, but he was the head coach of the Lakers, and the Lakers won a championship. I mean, if you look back in Lakers history, there's only a handful of coaches that have coached the Los Angeles Lakers that can say, I won a championship with the Lakers while I was head coach. So with that being said, Vogel, if, you know, this report, which I have no reason to, you know, obviously not think this is sources telling The Athletic, that it's only a 1 year addition to the contract. So, is it disrespectful to only give Vogel one additional year? Yeah, I had some time to think about this. I'm kind of playing it back in my head. And I'm like, all right, you know, I do remember obviously when the Lakers, Pelinka, made the announcement that they're extending Coach Vogel. Thought to my head, I'm like, well, what kind of extension is it? You know, he originally signed, it was a 3-year deal, and this would be the final year of his contract. So is it another 3 years? Is it 2 years? Is it one? I don't know what it is. So if it's one additional year, that means there's something that will line up with that type of a contract. Frank Vogel, LeBron has 2 years left on his contract. He's got this upcoming season and next season. Russell Westbrook has 2 more years on his contract. He's got this season, this upcoming season, and next season. And it means Coach Vogel will have the exact, would be kind of a mere contract of length of contract that he'll be with the Lakers. It lines up with LeBron and it lines up with Russell Westbrook. I got no problem with it. Got to be honest with you. I genuinely have no problem with it. And if, let's just say, hypothetically, Vogel ended up as a coach for the Lakers and he was here for, 4 years, or he's already done 2 years. So if he's here for 4 years, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I think that's okay. And I say that because, you know, there's a few reasons why I think it's okay. The thing that I look out most is life in LA for the Los Angeles Lakers after LeBron James is going to look so much different. And you could tell the way the Lakers have kind of structured a lot of their deals. There is this currently with LeBron organization that's running things knowing LeBron's going to be a part of the franchise. And then there's, kind of a portion of question marks of we're going to have to hit the reset button once LeBron James decides. And maybe that's not going to be in 2 years for LeBron. Maybe LeBron's going to be with the Lakers for another 4 years. I don't have that answer, but certainly to this point, you keep in mind the fact that this is LBJ's contract. That's Russ's contract. And now this is going to be Vogel's contract. Lakers have given themselves an incredible amount of flexibility for life after LeBron James deciding to either hang it up or whatever his plan is after 2 years. I think that's fair to kind of have your coach lined up with a couple of these other key assets. And if he's lined up with the exact same contract as LeBron and Russ, I don't have an issue with it. And Anthony Davis is really the only player on the roster that's obviously signed long-term with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's okay. He's 28 years old. That's kind of the thought process, is this is going to be the guy, one of the major pieces for the Lakers franchise for hopefully the next 7, 8, 9 years or whatever the case is. These other smaller windows, it's okay to kind of have them all lined up on the same timetable. All right, let's take a couple more calls here. Let's go to Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, I appreciate you calling in. What's going on, Solomon?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks so much. A couple of things. Yeah, I'm going to respond to what you just said. But as far as AD, speaking of AD going forward, him at the five, it's time, man. I'm sorry. He's going. I know he's uncomfortable there. Maybe that's something he discussed with LeBron and Westbrook. And maybe they said, look, this is where we need you, man. I know you maybe don't prefer it, but you're best, it seems like, at the five, so we're going forward with that. And regarding the coaching decision,
a question real quick. So, do you think it's necessary for an 82-game grind to play the five for AD? And if you do, explain to me, because I was making the case that I don't think it's necessary, in an 82-game grind. Do you think it's necessary? And if you do, tell me why.
No, I didn't hear that part of your comment. I'm sorry. I would agree with you there as well. We always seem to track with each other. That's going to have to be something in play.
Sure.
God willing, he doesn't get injured at the five. That would be another reason. So, yeah, if you want to preserve him a little bit, yeah, he doesn't have to always play the five. But in some of those important series or in the playoffs, that may have to come to be.
Couldn't agree more, by the way.
That it's Vogel and LeBron and Westbrook, and let's see what happens in 2 years. Who knows where the Lakers are going to go, what direction. So you want to leave yourself all the options possible, players, coaches, etc.
Thank you, Solomon. Appreciate the call, buddy. Let me try to get a couple more calls in here before we have to go to break. By the way, if you're just tuning in right now, appreciate you tuning in, or if you're listening on the podcast or whatever the case is, tomorrow morning we are covering Lakers Media Day during the Travis and Sliwa show. It goes on right at the same time. 10 to noon is Lakers Media Day. Travis and I, obviously, we do our show from 9:55 to 12:55. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. We're going to get a chance to hear from the cream of the crop tomorrow on Media Day, expectations for the season, the whole nine yards. Jaime in Montebello. What's going on, Jaime?
He's smaller, but he plays point guard.
Jaime? All right, there's Jaime. All right. Is he calling into another show? I think I may have two.
He's talking about a starting lap in the background. I don't know what he's doing.
Is he practicing, looking in the mirror? I mean, I like it. He's getting ready for the call. All right, let's go to Eric in L.A. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. So I think the starting five that came out today is literally the perfect starting five. You got Ariza at the three. He can switch everything with AD starting. So if AD is going to start, you have to have Ariza at the three to switch anything. It's the length also. And then I think with Ellington at the two, I think that's the only place you can use Ellington. You can't use him off the bench because he doesn't have playmakers to get him shots like LeBron Russ does. I think AD starting is perfect at the five because you want to keep that paint open for Russ. He's not a great three-point shooter, but, I mean, when it gets into the lane, I mean, you want the lane to be open for him, guys like him and LeBron. So I think AD at the five is perfect. I think Ellington at the two is perfect. And I think Ariza, Vogel's only going to give him 4 to 6 minutes at a time anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think him at the three is perfect.
Jaime, I appreciate the call. So what Jaime is referencing is how do you best – Russell Westbrook's your point guard, and he's not going to be a efficient outside shooter. So Jaime saying, well, if AD's at the five, then all of a sudden you open up the paint. Russell Westbrook can get to the basket. Wayne Ellington is a shooter. You can have Russ and you can have LeBron kind of find him from a spot up shooter perspective. Trevor Ariza's a 3-and-D guy. I get the concept of it all. The only thing I'm gonna sit back and say is you got DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard. You got two centers, 7-foot centers that are going to focus on the defensive side. You lost some solid defensive players that were on your team last season, and you won an NBA championship because I thought defense was your foundation a couple years ago as well. Man, for me, take that blueprint you had a year ago, throw DeAndre Jordan at the five, throw AD at the four, LeBron at the three, Wayne Ellington at the two, and then throw Russell Westbrook at the one. We'll see what the Lakers do, but this is when I know we're close to Lakers season starting. We're already complaining about what starting lineup to have. That's a good sign because that means Lakers basketball is right around the corner. Top NBA stories coming up next. 8:15, Brad Turner from the LA Times. I want to get some of his thoughts on the few of the topics that we talked about. Want to also ask him about like we mentioned, from the coaching perspective, what he thinks of Vogel, potentially that one-year extension. THT, should he be in the conversation starter? So we got a lot to get into. I'll take more of your phone calls at 8:30. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.